Welcome to Mental Wellness Life. I am Brooke, and this one's going to be super cool. My close friend, Megan Bryant, who's a very, very funny local comedian, improv master, and teacher to all of this amazing concept of yes and, which you're going to hear a lot about in our swap cast. She also has a podcast called I Hardly Know Her, and hopefully you can go check that one out. This exact episode will play on hers as well, so check all that out. So what I've found lately is that, after starting this podcast, actually a lot of really, really amazing things happened for me. Self-awareness is an amazing thing. It has brought me so much amazing energy into my life that all of these cool women, all these cool opportunities, speaking engagements, all of this stuff is starting to happen for me. And really, it all boils down to the fact that I've been saying my shit. I've gotten some very toxic situations dealt with and made room for people like Megan and people like the previous interview style episodes that I've put out. You know, those girls I've become closer with this year. So 2019, definitely the year of self-awareness for me and the universe blessing me with all of these people. So I hope that you enjoy this. To recap, for those of you that are just listening to this one, I am a 43-year-old adult and I live successfully with post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar type 1, panic disorder, and adjustment disorder. So like all the disorders. The running joke is if I get one more, I'll have Yahtzee. Anyway, I find lately that laughter is the best way to combat depression and combat anxiety, is just by finding that funny little humor here and there. I'm also an entrepreneur. I've started 3 different businesses in the last 10 years. This podcast itself is technically a business and people do support this. I hope that you go in and support it, just like my friend Tevia in the last episode talked about. You know, I want to keep this listener funded. So please go and subscribe with the link in this bio and do what you can, because it'll keep things going and it'll keep entertaining you. So without further ado, I hope that you enjoy this podcast with the Megan Bryant.
Welcome. Welcome, listeners, to the I Hardly Know Her podcast, coupled with the Mental Wellness Life podcast.
Say all that 10 times. Really
featuring your dual host scenario of me, Megan Bryant, and the one, the only, the yes and witch wearing t-shirt person. I said it backwards. T-shirt wearing.
You get it.
Mistress of wisdom and enlightenment. Owner and creator and what do you call yourself? Lead, principal, something of Jayla Digital for all of your website needs, and the creator of the Mental Wellness Life podcast, Brooke Lacey.
Hello. I don't know how to follow that, but it's me. I'm here.
I have no self-control when it comes to introducing guests. I don't have guests on my... We're learning
That's
life.
That's right. I think this is going to be a good platform for us to take off with, because there's definitely been some times where I'm like, I need to interview people for all of this, because I can't speak to male mental health. I can't speak to veteran mental health. Right. I need to have people, which I do have some incredible people lined up to talk about that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
it's going to be good, because we need to talk about men mental health.
I agree. There's a lot of things. And I find, of course, most of my episodes are just my own little meanderings of whatever I'm thinking about. Right. Yeah. And yet there's a lot of power in the collective. And I'm a huge fan of like bringing in other perspectives. Exactly. I'm always on a quest to learn more and expand my own understanding of the exactly. life and world around me.
Yes.
So the purpose that we wanted to dive in today, and we've been talking about doing this swap cast for yes. a while now.
A while.
Because I'm a big fan of your work.
Shit, but I am the biggest fan of yours. Like, I knew about you before you knew about me.
I That's yeah, creepy. It's true. It the way you presented all of the details about my life before I really knew you was, in fact, one of the higher levels of the creep scale that I've experienced in a while.
just know that I did rethink that as I got home going, maybe I shouldn't have said all that.
Yeah, eventually.
Too late.
Fortunately, now, as we can see, it has teetered back over onto the side of
now it's
tolerable.
Now it's a little creepy when she texts me all day
I
long.
I know,
so
it's become a real
issue.
I have
other friends that have been in this situation with me, and then they're like, well, I'm really glad you pushed the issue, because now you're like my favorite person. So what can I say? I know
it.
What works.
You know what works, and you roll with
creepiness.
It.
Creepiness.
The fun thing about blending the topics that we cover is that it's super important, and there's a lot of underlying themes of tackling things in a very blunt yet approachable and open for discussion type of way.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that really attracts me to just being in your space in general, is it's a very low pressure, the judgment is suspended.
It certainly,
you know,
is.
That's what I like to do. And knowing like that we can talk about hard things without it being offensive.
Yeah.
And if it is something that is offensive, talking about why it's offensive,
yeah.
you know, like it gets to go into that level.
Yeah.
So we
have a lot in common, and there's, you know, there's different like levels of things that I've done that aren't where you are or whatever. Like, and so being able to have conversations with somebody who really gets it, whether it be the podcast, whether it be speaking, whether it be, you know, like I'm able to ask questions of you. There's things about tech that, you know, I'm able to answer for you.
Right.
It's like, I, you know, obviously have other people in my life that are similar in intelligence, but we have a different like trajectory. We use that word a lot where we kind of understand the life that we're both living, if that makes
sense. And building. Yeah, the way we're living it, the way that it's got a lot of intentional steps and the genuine collaboration. So I like I've done other episodes where I mentioned this, and it's really important to me to rally with people who put action behind their words and are not afraid to approach the challenges that inevitably come along the way.
Exactly.
So a couple things we're going to touch on throughout this episode, and I did make a few notes just to sort of guide our path here, because it's important to talk about the scope of mental health issues and how broad and far-reaching they truly are in everyone's lives, whether you are maybe immediately tackling them yourself personally, or you are just being touched by people in your life personally and professionally.
Exactly.
In which case, newsflash, everyone is.
Yep.
Right. And then in my scope of things, I've learned a lot of interesting lessons about using humor and improv and the bringing the fun and playtime back into the workplace, and have inadvertently triggered people in ways that I have become very aware of, because I don't want to accidentally uncork something without it being a way to provide resources for other other steps. And you've gotten to come be part of my workshops before, and so just cross-pollinating the different things that we do out in the community. I've gotten to come watch you speak at events and help promote those things, and it really is all of us working together towards normalizing the hard conversations. Taking action towards doing something different and better.
Right.
And recognizing that we can be awesomely accomplished humans doing big things while juggling real struggles.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to have, and I know obviously for those of you that may be hearing this swapcast for the first time, a swapcast is where this exact same blip of recording that we are doing, we both just hit record at the same time. So this content is going to be right here where you're hearing on either the I Hardly Know Her podcast, or if you happen to be hearing it also right here on the Mental Wellness Life podcast, because anytime there's crossover of important messages, we just want to be able to give people additional resources and
get it out to the masses.
Yeah.
A lot more people will hear this, and it'll reach, you know, the listeners that are Megan's with I Hardly Know Her are going to hear this and realize that things do mesh together.
Right.
And you know, go and then listen to what I have to say and vice versa.
Exactly.
Because we're going to talk about how humor and the improv space has helped me with all of these things that I'm doing to try to live successfully. I should introduce myself to your listeners.
Yeah, I was actually just about to do that. So I was going to say, so I know your listeners know you.
Yeah.
I want to just hear a little bit about what you, and I love that you call it live successfully with, mm-hmm. because the word struggle is really exactly that. It feels very restrictive and cumbersome. Yeah. And so I want you to talk to me and to my listeners about what your catalog of things are that you
have an intro for exactly. every one of my episodes. I'll give it to you.
And then how it led into why you do your podcast.
So for my listeners, I usually do recap this anyway.
Good.
I am a 43-year-old adult. Sometimes I don't feel like that, but I live successfully with post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar type 1, which is the bad bipolar. No, I'm kidding. And panic disorder and adjustment disorder. So like all the disorders. I started the podcast in February. This is a little controversial, so I'm just starting that out. My listeners on Mental Wellness Life have heard this before, but the Idaho legislature had just passed a $800 million, I guess, amount to go towards suicide prevention. And it kind of hit me like, that kind of money could go so far with the mental health space and getting people mm-hmm. healthy so that it never even gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a little bit more controversial things to say about that, but we'll just leave that to a different, you know, episode. But it just got me to the point of, I've told this story a lot. I've had people ask me to write a book. I'm not a great writer. There's a book that's been in play for years and I just haven't been able to get to it. So, mm-hmm. because of other stuff I've used to do with radio and having the silky pipes, podcast
so silky.
Silky. You're just going to fall asleep.
This segment sponsored by
Brooke's
Silk. The silkiest, just imagine the silkiest silk you can never run your delicate soul across.
Such chocolatey and silky. I just love it. The voice for radio. But not a face for radio. It's just
I know, it's a face
beauty.
For billboards, if you ask me. Blipboards.
So it just really, like, got me thinking that, you know, I want to get this information out. I want people to understand that you can live successfully with it. I say all those, you know, wild words, and they are very, you know, they're very heavy. Mm. They're diseases, just like any other disease. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm the lucky one because I've been able to like have the self-awareness enough to go and try to get better. Yeah. I don't want to suffer. And, you know, I said on a couple of my talks that, you know, we all suffer, but to what degree? You know, we can either move forward and try to be better and do all the things that are going to help our situation, or we can just wallow in our comfortable little depression blankets. And if that's you, that this podcast or my, you know, the way that I talk about things isn't for you, because I'm talking to the people that want to get better. And I constantly get listeners and, you know, I actually get Twitter messages saying, hey, I listened to your stuff and it's so raw and it's so cool. And I went back to therapy. And it's like, that's all I care about is just getting you thinking about what you can do. Tell your story. Do all of these things and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
It's definitely opened my whole world up. As soon as I started talking about it, I've never felt so free of it.
Oh, yes. That's so good. And so when you started doing the podcast, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
When you started the podcast though, that was just a great platform for you to be able to do whatever you wanted though, right?
Right.
To just say, okay, this is the list of things I need to address.
Right.
And here
I'm going to keep it clean because we are on your podcast, but mine is explicit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like because we've talked about this before, that's who I am.
Yeah.
My foul mouth follows me everywhere. It is a form of stress relief. I joke about this, but it also is scientifically proven that swearing relieves stress.
That's why I cuss into my pillow at night.
while crying yourself to sleep.
While I weep, weary with the weathering of the day.
The weight of the world.
I release the weight of the world into expletives into my pillow.
And I just say them to the bleeping world. Bleep.
I love it. And so for those that are listening to this on the wellness, the mental wellness side of things, I will tell you one of the things that makes me the most self-conscious still about my own podcast is that I started it because I really wanted to share stories. I love stories. I love listening to other people's podcasts. And for me, I'm just very much a verbal processor. And I, of course, talk about my listeners will hear this again and go, yes, we get it. You talk a lot. For me, though, especially when I think about my own intro, it is probably a little misleading at first because people are like, oh, she's a comedian and she's an improv trainer and she does or whatever, all these things, right?
Right.
And then I think some people probably expect my episodes to be super funny, and honestly, I'm not sure if they really ever are, because here's the thing is I switch into my... I'm a performer when I need to be performing,
right.
And I get booked often enough to know that I see people laughing.
Yeah.
Usually in photos afterwards. I sometimes get self-conscious when I'm actually performing. The reason, though, why comedy is so important and that I obviously it's part of my business, but not necessarily what I do on the podcast, is because we have to be able to cathart, and we need to be able to laugh, and we need to be able to work through those things. And certainly there's an amount of separation between, like, I don't ever promise a funny deliverable unless it's a comedy show.
Right. Which I will tell you, listeners, to all of you, Megan is the funniest freaking, I'm good, person that I have ever, like, been able to be in contact with. Like, and I've seen some really funny people, but, like, that comedy show a couple weeks ago, like, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. And it was probably because there was this, like, personal connection with you. And so I knew, like, a lot of that stuff, even though it was funny to everyone, was kind of an inside joke as well, because we joke about it. But it's just so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's kind of like, this is a separate thing. Because people have also said that to me. They're like, some of your stuff is really funny and some of it's really heavy. I'm like, No crap.
You're darn right it
is. You're darn tootin'.
Because that's exactly what I feel like there is a time and a place. And I'm very sensitive to the fact that so many things are very heavy.
Right.
That I like to give them room to breathe and make sure it's in the right arena to be able to process them in the healthiest way. Because I have made some jokes about some very heavy stuff. And like even now in my stand-up, I will reference, like, for example... my connection to adoption and having hidden that pregnancy and whatever. And there's other challenging things I've gone through in my life. And it has to be done in such a way that enough time has happened that you have processed it at least a little bit, or enough to where the audience doesn't feel like they have to rescue you.
Right.
So there's a lot of mechanics behind the scenes with comedy that really just help us to connect with others and to heal. And laughter for me is the most important vital thing that I
100%.
Can help deliver, and that I know that I need, because if 100%. I'm struggling, like even just a couple of weeks ago when I was was heading to an improv workshop that I was facilitating, and I was just really in a rough space in that moment, and tired, and didn't just feeling down on myself.
Oh, the one where we were both feeling like that.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, just last week. As at that session.
Yeah,
and and it's certainly not the first time it's happened, but that's exactly right. We were both at that one. And it was like, I knew I had to get there because I'm facilitating.
Right.
Also, I just know it well enough that I knew I needed that release of tension that had been festering in my little soul that day.
Yeah.
And it's just a magical thing when you can bring strangers. Certainly some of us know of each other. There was a couple of new people and new to each other people, even though I know people from different connections in some cases. And to create a safe space where it's okay to talk about the things is so validating and necessary.
Yep.
One of the things that has been really interesting, and we're going to sort of pivot back, I think, to how far-reaching the mental health topic is.
Which I didn't realize. I mean, I did, but it's only been, 6-7 months? And especially having this relationship with you, it's like every day I'm like, holy crap. Like there's so, there, it's reaching everywhere.
It is. It's in a high concentration. And one of my improv groups that I helped formulate last year was for a high school troupe.
Oh yeah.
And they're super fun. And I get to see them not as, as frequently as I would like to due to my constraints of time at the moment. When I've done some recent-ish workshops with them, though, their common themes as they're doing their scenes and their gimmick games is mental health issues. Yep. They're straight up talking about depression, anxiety, things like very personal things, and they're doing it in a safe space where they know that their teammates are there to hold them up.
Totally.
And they talk about broken homes. They're talking about being in addictive family environments. Like they're saying these things as if they are pretending in a improv space because they kind of are.
Right.
And yet all comedy is rooted in truth.
Totally.
And so I'm very aware when I'm like listening to these young people very boldly bring in very heavy issues that I know now I know for a fact that they are dealing with. They are dealing with body issues. They are dealing with just super heavy stuff. Right. And you know what? They're excited about being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
They don't feel that's restricted.
That's what I was going to say is like, I think that sometimes people go, well, you know, these are such heavy topics and I'm going, yeah, but people are talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, like so I have an episode called Teenage Depression and I talked to Broden, my son, and it was like, nobody else did. There's no one that's done that. And, and people are like, wow, you know, he deals with depression. I'm like,
yeah, probably so does your kid.
Yeah. Like, so does your kid, I bet. But he's certainly not getting onto podcasts talking about gravity blankets. I mean, like, I didn't know where that conversation would go, but it went in such a perfect way that I had no idea. And then at the end, when I shut it off, he was like, he's like, oh, is that it? And I'm like, well, what did you want me to ask you about? And he's like, no, I thought it was going to get like really deep. I'm like, what do you mean? Like about suicide or something? And they are, I don't mean to bring that up, but like, these kids are talking about this stuff at the friggin' lunch table.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, it blows my mind that we're not facilitating that as parents.
Right.
Like, he has, you know, he came to me 2 weeks ago. Mom, I think it's time for therapy. Like, who does that? Like, what kid does that? Well, in my world, my kid.
Yeah.
So we need to facilitate that. But it's true. Like, these kids that you're talking about are comfortable with saying all these things. And it's a space for them to actually talk about it and hear about it from other people and their peers.
Like, yeah. And I don't think they want to repeat the things they've seen the previous several generations where we bury things under shame.
Exactly.
We smile on Sundays at church and pretend nothing's wrong.
Exactly.
We don't talk about things once they're in the past because you're supposed to leave the past in the past and you don't want... For me, like what you said earlier, something about just when you started talking about it, that freedom, I will say that that is one of my favorite things about owning my crap. Like I've shared not everything I plan to someday publicly because I'm still working on other books and I'm probably well on podcasts. There's certain things that
I'm about to ask you.
Yeah, right.
How's your mental health?
It's questionable at times. But when some of the things that I've shared about past choices I've made, people I've hurt in my life when I was hurting, different just stupid things I've done, and owning those things and issuing apologies to people that I know I hurt was humiliating in the moment, and yet the most remarkable friendships and lessons and forgiveness have come from putting down my... I don't even know what it is. Coming out from under my shame. It was like I was being buried in shame for long enough on certain things that it was killing me. And I knew that there were things that that I just needed to air it out.
Right.
And do all that work to clean my dirty laundry.
That's right.
Because there's so much freedom in just stepping out in front of your own stuff and say, you know what? Freedom. Because I do believe that my, as much as I sometimes honestly do hate it, I don't always love my very public tendencies.
Right.
My wildest fantasy is having a little cabin in the middle of nowhere and no one ever hears from Megan again. Like
it's funny when people are like, oh, you're so, it's such an extrovert. I'm like, right, but I would much rather be at home watching some, you know, documentary
in
on
the dark,
whatever.
In
the
ice
dark.
Cream.
Right.
Yeah. I like to, I totally recharge in my little quiet self space.
Yeah.
And it's because of the things where I'm like, no, even if it is uncomfortable, I just feel like that is a kind of an exciting and neat role that I get to play, and truly anybody who wants to share their stories.
Right.
We have this like expansive platform of social media. Of, right. You can start a podcast. You can blog. You can do live videos on Facebook. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. You can share your story, and people are hungry for that connection and knowing they're not alone in their journey.
Right.
And coming back, some of these things that we've been talking about, I probably sound like the biggest cornball because I bring it up all the time about just love. Like, there wouldn't have to be any shame. There wouldn't have to be any feelings of inadequacies, of not seeking help if we're struggling because we're going to be embarrassed and judged if we just knew that we could be okay as we are.
I think, too, like, in this whole... So we're both business owners, and I have a tech business, but that's been my background forever, so... It is a little bit different than, coming into this space as a mental health person when I'm not really in that space as a profession. I am someone living with this, but in the business world, I am always of the mind of like, you know, tell your crap up front and then they don't have anything to like, you know, grab you on down the future. It's just like having contracts up front, whatever. Yep. But I find that in this world too is like, isn't it better? People are so afraid of things and this whole stigma thing. Like, but why not get yourself out in front of it and be like, I deal with anxiety, you know, like raise your hand high and say, I deal with anxiety and bipolar and let's just move on. And instead of, you know, holding it all in and freaking out on somebody down the road, knowing that you had these tendencies, there's something different about like, look, I didn't realize I had this problem and, you know, hey, I'm going through something now.
Right.
If you know there's something wrong and you're holding it in, I can guarantee you it will blow up in your face, in your partner's face, in your kid's face, all of that.
Yeah.
So get help. That's just, it's backwards to me that people don't want to say their stuff. They want to hold it in because of that stigma. And I'm saying get in front of it and then people will, it will be easier.
Totally.
It doesn't make sense.
I know. I agree. Well, and I think one of the things to relate it to, which is just kind of a funny thing where you just lay your cards out and you're like, here's what I got.
Yeah.
Is the space that as single women, strong-willed women with
beautiful women
and smoking hot. Like, can you hear the fire crackling?
You won't be able to handle it.
That what's interesting to me, and I don't really jump into the dating space a whole lot because I have a very tender heart, and we keep getting our heart and soul just smashed back in our face. That to that point, though, what I actually one of the things I enjoy about dating as an adult, especially when I have a small army of humans to consider, and as a top priority of who can even step into not only my space, the entirety of this package of awesomeness that I get to be part of.
Right.
And it is so interesting to just immediately within the first couple of conversations with people to just be very open.
Yeah.
And I am impressed and a little like, woo, when you hear the candid nature of it. Because people don't have time for, well, some people have time for bull crap.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
But hearing those things and then really just putting out my true colors of, here's all the things.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Because here we go. Get your bag of popcorn.
Exactly.
And it actually seems surprisingly, there has not even yet been one person, even though I have not successfully found a match and probably never will. And I'm fine with that.
It.
No, that's not the end goal.
I think we both today realized that we're like, we're good. Like, I'm good. I am good.
Absolutely.
The way I am right now.
The thing I love, though, is that my actual point before it was like 12
other
things. What
is your actual point? I don't know.
No, I haven't yet had a conversation with someone where I told them a lot of my heavy, what I thought would be very baggagey.
Yeah.
And been met with shock at all.
No.
Everybody just feels, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ah.
I did an
episode. All right, so you want to go to a movie or what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's up? Yeah, I did an episode about my mania called Mania Manifested. Check it out. And, you know, it was really like, I videotaped it and it was, I don't know what it was. I think I was dramatically pausing for effect because my mania manifests in rage and very, very like paranoid, And it hasn't happened in so long because I take medication and I do all of these different therapies. So, but after the episode aired, and again, as I was telling the story on the podcast, I was like, let me just tell you that my mania manifests as rage. And then people were like, yeah, same girl, same. And then nobody cared.
Yeah.
Like nobody cared. It was not that big of a deal. So I'm like, if I can be the poster child, I don't care. If I can be the one saying, here's what happens when you tell your story. I have become very popular because of mental illness. But think about that. Like,
I'm going to get you a sash and a crown.
I would like that. And I win. I win. And there's no one else because no one else will come forward.
They're like, you can wear that sash. We're rooting from over here.
Over here. I think you did sit in the way back. No, when I was talking. No.
I was the one time I was a little bit, it had already started. And so I snuck in the back. I was just a couple minutes late because I was running from another
event. The other one.
Are you talking about the one at the theater?
Yes, but then now I'm thinking when you came to where I emceed.
And I put you on live stream.
That was like
front
and center. there have been definitely some people who have been very supportive from the background, and that is fine. Mm-hmm. And I've had a very close friend of mine, you know who you are, decide
Benedict
to...
Bigglesworth?
It is Bigglesworth.
That's
actually, she was public about it, so is my friend Mel.
I was like, you don't have to actually identify.
Well, I think she would be grateful. She's one of my biggest fans, probably my biggest fan. And I know you're listening to this in the car on your hour drive from Star, Idaho. Because, come on. Who lives in Star, Idaho? Okay, I'm going to edit that out. No, maybe I won't.
Remember, I don't really edit, please don't tangent too much.
No. So, I really don't. I don't. Because I can't not say all of the things if I'm trying to ask people to say these things.
Sure.
But the point is, she had called and said, I'm really feeling vulnerable about this thing I want to post about something that happened in her life. And I was like, I don't have any good words for you other than it's going to feel so good once you do it. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the best part of this. Even though, yeah, people like are now starting to recognize me and like, oh my gosh, I've listened to your podcast. And that's cool. And I feel cool and good about that. My ego gets a little boost. But it's those times when people are like, I felt good about telling my story. Or and this is from all over the country. I've had people in Australia contact me. You know, this is helping me move forward with things.
Right.
And so, like, that it just makes a huge difference when you hear what people are getting from this. It's like, it's scary for me to go, I have all of these things, and let me tell you about how I'm dealing with them. And then, or saying it to, like dating. At what point do you say in the date, by the way, I do a popular podcast about living with mental illness? What's next on the menu?
All right.
Me. Sorry, your listeners.
You don't have to ever apologize for that. No, it's super real. I think it just gets to be part of who you are, though. And that's the thing that's fun, is to just be who you are, and then, of course, have a robust, that's like my favorite word. It's certainly
robust.
top five favorite words in my, vocabulary was the word I was going for, and suddenly words escaped me, which is always funny when I'm talking about words, and then I'm like, I have none left, they're all gone, they've expired.
Establishment.
I feel like I would rather just stay in the space of who I am as much as possible. Sometimes,
exactly.
The handful of times where I've had an interest in someone, I find myself censoring the way that I post, and then I'm like, oh, see, I can't. I can't let that be a thing. And so I guess. I don't know. I just want to have my girlfriends that we can have a great time. And certainly I have a lot of guy friends as well. And let's just, just when you can be so self-aware, you mentioned self-awareness earlier.
That's all there
allowing
is
to it. Allowing it to guide you to be your truest self is so wonderful and freeing. A couple things we sort of mentioned at the tippity top here of mental health in the entrepreneur space, because you mentioned too that we are both entrepreneurs with different types of projects and things that we've worked on. And to really emphasize, and this is probably a very common thing for many of our listeners, that we also juggle a lot of things. Motherhood, just life goals, obligations that we have to clients, time, trying to find the time to do fun things with friends, self-care, eating, you know, some of these things that sometimes fall by the wayside.
Don't all eat the what things. Falls by the wayside.
I know. No, please.
Please eat good food.
Eat responsibly. there's just so many things going on, and we're running, life is running for so many people at such a fast pace.
Right.
And a lot of times entrepreneurs, especially now that I'm kind of double teaming my own workload in with having the stuff that I do for the Idaho Women's Business Center and all the event coordination and the social media and all the super fun educational bits I get to do there, coupled with what I do still as an entrepreneur, it was very crystal clear by my my boss. She hates that I call her boss, but the woman who recruited me, that she only hired me under the understanding I would remain committed to my own projects that are finally doing really well after years of work.
Right.
And so that becomes even more taxing. And so in that space, when you ask me, how are you feeling mentally? I am grateful to have people that are so comfortable to speak to about when I'm having those challenges, because I've never been diagnosed with things officially. I've had my therapist identify my my swoops of depression as situational depression.
Right, right.
And through EMDR and some different intensive things I've done in the past, it helps me to navigate.
Technically, that's a diagnosis.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm like, there's never been something written on a paper. And so I'm like, does that count?
No one writes it on a paper.
Oh, they don't?
No.
It's just, it's written in the stars?
It is. It's a thing.
Okay, so then technically, I guess. And so, but by doing those things as a, it helps me be that much more efficient in my work.
Right.
In my mothering abilities.
Exactly.
To really be aware of what I need to tackle, how to prioritize, how to stay healthy, how to notice when I have fallen out of alignment with myself, because I can tell. And and having it identified, Megan, your situational depression shows up as XYZ. And she very clearly pinpointed, and we could obviously tell through specifically through those EMDR sessions, I knew exactly where my trigger points were.
Right.
And so I can navigate through and rebound quicker when I hit those funks.
Exactly. Because you know, this is the self-awareness that I constantly talk about, is like, you know, I know what is happening. I talked about the whole, you know, using words and stuff like, I will never be offended if you say something is crazy, because that is like the most used word in the English language. Like, it's a great descriptor. Don't worry about that.
Right.
But when people are like, oh, I have such bad anxiety. Also, I don't care about, the only thing I care about is when you say someone is bipolar. Like, no, I have bipolar, but whatever. Mm. I think it's more of like a science thing. Like, yeah, the earth is bipolar, but I have bipolar. Anyway, whatever. Really, it's not that big of a deal, but it just irks me. But when people, you know, I would say that to Broden sometimes, and he would get like flustered by that. He actually told me that at the end of our episode, of our podcast episode, because I asked him, what is it like to live with somebody like this? And I thought to myself, I think that's good. It's good to be able to put a name on it. Like, put a name on it. This thing right now is giving me anxiety.
Right.
Whether you've been diagnosed with friggin' anxiety disorder like me, doesn't matter. Put a name on it.
Yeah.
Understand that that's a thing. It's like, my knee hurts. You know,
I'm going to keep walking.
I'm going to keep walking on it.
Hell, I'm going to go climb a mountain.
There's a giant gash in my leg. I'm going to just keep walking. Like, no, if you are having anxiety, if you have, you know, if your heart's racing, if something's giving you bad vibes, then just put a name on it.
Yeah.
This is giving me anxiety. This is stressing me out. This is whatever. And then move on. And if it's to the point where, hey, that whole thing about giving you anxiety hasn't stopped in a day, I don't know, go see your doctor. Because you, this is a physical, you know, ailment.
Yes.
So not sure how I was going with that.
Well, we started in the topic of entrepreneurs and business space in general.
And being self-aware, just like a lot of the business gurus that we both listen to and sort of study, Everything is self-awareness. Everything. You're yep. selling yourself at every corner, especially in what you do. But I have always told people, like, sales is everything. You sell yep. yourself to a boss. You sell yep. yourself to a new relationship. You sell yourself. I mean, sales is everything. And so yes. You have to know yourself. You have to. And after a certain age, if you don't take those steps to learn who you are, you will never be successful.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And I feel like I am more likely to, I like to start in a space of trust, but I'm more likely to continue a deeper and more trusting relationship and really genuinely want to support the business of someone who is very self-aware.
Yeah.
It won't maybe necessarily always be a mental health topic. Right. Certainly, though, it's embracing what our strengths are, right. what our weaknesses are, being very open about what deliverables should be.
Right.
Like, I would never, when I teach the improv things in the workplace, those breakdown of how those skills look, and I can see the people nodding on certain right. things because they know where the pain points are in the room.
Right.
They know which people are those yeah butters who are blocking yeah. and stifling. They yeah. know who is shutting them down.
Yep.
And my goal is always not only to bring a little bit of the fun, the laughter and those little witty moments that just fill my cup all the way up, but to empower people to know that they should be allowed to be humans,
right.
whatever that means, and right. not have that be a question of their ability to be a successful employee
right.
or a business person. Now, on the flip side of that, there are some people who are so unwilling to allow their human side to be exposed
mm-hmm.
that, like, I don't even know how they can possibly
right.
function.
I don't either.
Because it's uncomfortable to watch almost right. when someone tries so fiercely to separate work from personal.
Right.
Because we are the humans
right.
in those spaces, whether we want to actually pinpoint it or not.
Right.
The people that are able to accomplish their wildest ambitions and whatever right. are being very true to themselves.
Absolutely.
And if even some people who are not the most pleasant, if they have self-awareness about it, there's still something very appealing to me if
right.
they are owning who they are.
Totally.
No matter
in
what that is.
In a legitimate, like, genuine way. Because, like, this recent person that I was with romantically, what did we used to call the romantic nuisance? He was a romantic nuisance. And he would constantly be like, well, I'm just a narcissist. And I'm like, nope, you don't get to do that. Like, so what we're talking about is not being aware by saying, just like this whole, this is giving me anxiety. Like, don't be passive aggressive about it or whatever you want to call it. You have to genuinely get that you're being a douche.
That's
sorry.
Okay.
That you're being.
I mean, the people that are
douchey.
Listening are not like totally.
I'm sure they all swear.
I don't. They probably do.
But
in some capacity.
I have been told by some people
I just didn't want like a rip roaring F bomb scenario here.
But Megan's listeners, if you go listen to my podcast, please just understand there will be things in your ear. Holes that are very, very foul.
Only the ear holes.
Only the ear
thankfully,
holes.
Thankfully, through the podcast.
But be really clear about what you are self-aware and don't be like using it to sort of excuse things. Like,
yes,
I can't
to excuse bad behavior.
Yeah. Like
yes.
I could never say to someone like, so sorry for being such a bitch, but I have bipolar. Like, no. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So like
mm-hmm.
you said, people can be kind of douchey and then still kind of like it, maybe not even verbally, but you can see it, especially with what you're doing. You can see it where they're going, oh, boy,
yeah.
maybe I shouldn't have done that or whatever. And it's a genuine like self-awareness moment.
Yes. And it can be super empowering. So I think on this last little home stretch scenario here, talking about the self-awareness and how that can aid us in our love and appreciation for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and then the ripple effect that allows, which is super important to me, that it allows us to offer other people. We talk about that
yeah.
in my improv space with using yes and
mm-hmm.
as a way to accept and acknowledge everything.
Right.
For good or bad or everything in between. It doesn't mean you agree with these things, as right. we all know. If people have heard me talk about yes and, it's an acceptance and an acknowledgement.
Right.
So if we use that on ourselves to yep. really accept and know ourselves, how yep. to be our best self,
yep.
to look for ways to continue to grow and see those things. Like, my favorite things are in those spaces when someone actually will boldly admit something. I've had yeah. I had a woman come to tears once in a group session that was actually open to general public, and there was probably 15 people or so in this general public workshop.
Yeah.
And she had this just look mm-hmm. on her face, and she's yeah. like, oh my gosh, I'm the yeah butter.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's okay, because now that you know, you get to do something different with it.
Right.
You get to stop stifling other people,
yep.
stepping on other people's, and ultimately what's happening to her is she's stepping on herself.
Right.
So whenever we think,
quickly tell yeah. my listeners what yes and yeah but.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So yes and is the core of improv. It is essentially the little engine that drives forward in the performance realm. It drives the scenes forward, because we take with our scene partner whatever the suggestion is, mm-hmm. and we begin to build a scene and a relationship between characters right before the audience's eyes, without restricting where it will go. We don't right. have any preconceived notions. We just step right into that moment and begin right. to build together, accepting that information.
Right.
And so by using yes to accept and acknowledge, and then allows us to add something new, provide additional details.
Which now, when I see your improv shows, it just takes on a, not that I've seen a lot of them before knowing about yes and, mm-hmm. but now it's just interesting to watch that and
yeah.
be like, how cool, like that they're yeah
yeah
I see it in action. It's
for
cool.
sure.
It's fun.
And the important thing about yes and, though, as I said a few moments ago, is that it's an acceptance and an acknowledgement. And a lot mm-hmm. of times people will get it twisted. They think
right.
yes means you must agree
I
with someone
first,
and they will get
yeah.
very angry at me and argumentative
right, right.
because they're like, no, I don't want to say yes to people that I don't agree
right.
with politically or religiously or all the, you know, immediately the
right.
very divisive things that exist in our world, and or that they just say yes to too many things and they are over committed to things that are just not
right.
filling their life with joy. And so shifting the way we use yes becomes a very forward moving action oriented way to just live in life, because
right.
we take the very next thing and we say yes, okay, that's the next task at hand or the next life thing I need to deal with or
right.
whatever it is. Saying yes is very easy
yep.
when it's something that we do agree with and that we want to engage in. Using
exactly.
yes and as a powerful positive mindset,
mm-hmm.
especially when life is hard, is
yeah.
where it's a game changer, because it does let you, for me personally, using yes and to really step into who I know I want to be.
Right.
And I had been derailed for several years in a variety of capacities. And now I've been able to become that person again by yes anding the things that I know I love, I know I feel good about, that
right.
I know I can offer the world, the way that I mother my children. It accepts me, it allows me to accept myself. And in doing that, giving myself that validation and
right.
honoring myself, it instinctively over time has allowed me to gift that to everyone else around me.
Yep.
Because I don't have to deal with things I can't control.
Yeah.
It allows me to just be like, let them have their own experience
yep.
and to keep a little bit more of a grasp on having boundaries
yeah.
and stepping into a space where there are more ways to do things.
Well, and I know we probably could talk for like 4 hours. Maybe we will do a follow-up. I
yeah,
know that this
very well
is,
could.
There's so many good nuggets that
mm-hmm.
that's the word that she likes to use. It's so true that, because what I'm about to say, I don't think I've really quite explained it correctly to Megan, but the idea of yes and in the mental health space is more mind-blowingly important than I think you quite realize, because we need to acknowledge someone when they say, I'm not doing well.
Yes.
And do not, yeah, but, you know, you probably just get over it or get over whatever.
Right.
And I know that that's the way, you know, it's packaged for like all things. But when we talk about the mental health space, using that yes and even that last week when we both, you know, Megan and I are friends in real life. And so we knew that both of us were kind of going into improv class last week. And of course, she's leading it, but I'm in it. And I got triggered a little bit. But by the end of it, and that maybe is a story for another time, but at the end of it, I was like, I feel great. Like, I feel great. I laughed so hard. Mm. So all of this stuff that you're involved with seeps into the mental health space. And I talked about it on a couple other podcasts that that just laughing and that natural stuff, the exercise, the this bodily, you know, your body wants to help you. But when you are, when something's not firing right, you know, you have to push yourself, just like in that spot where the three of us were talking. One of these improv things that that we do in the workshop, where you're kind of like talking over each other, and it's a practice, right? Of like, I really wanted to listen, and then I could only hear a few things, and so there was a lesson there. But what I was triggered by was everybody talking, and and I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. There's too many people talking, and so, but I didn't escape. I stayed in my space, and then when it ended, it was like, I'm so self-aware that that happened to me. That's why I didn't have to race out, because I knew what was happening. I knew it was almost over. I knew that I was safe with you. Sorry. And that it was for a reason. So all of this stuff mixed together makes for a lesson, like moving forward, living successfully, because I am aware of the things that help me.
Totally. Oh, I love that so much. You're so awesome.
I love you.
I love that example of tying it to the mental health, because it is, when you're, of course I get so passionate about the yes and that, even with that yeah but, where you said that we will accidentally yeah but on people and shut people down, even when they're trying to work through something.
Exactly.
And to just pish-posh someone's real struggle by saying, yeah, but maybe if you slept better, you'll feel good in the morning.
Exactly.
Or maybe if whatever Band-Aid we can put over this very real thing, we just need to be super mindful of creating that safe space as often as possible. And I'm not perfect in it. The way that it has been such a great ongoing gift in my own life is that I'm so aware of these principles that I catch myself when I biff it.
Yeah.
And so I can issue an apology right away if I'm doing it.
Yeah.
If I've accidentally butted somebody in any way. And and it just becomes a space of trust, of just a reciprocal, like, joyfulness,
right?
And seeing that we can move through it, like, to go, okay, well, there's the hard thing, and then we still got to laugh and play.
Yeah.
And man, I love that. And one of my friends, actually, my gal that I work with at the Idaho Women's Business Center, Diane, she's just such a remarkable human.
Love her.
And she said to me, "Ooh, where did my train of thought just go? Hold on, we were talking about wait." Oh, I'm not pausing this thing. Oh my gosh.
I love you.
I know. How did that just happen? It was so good. And then I give so many extra words when I shift.
So we were talking about
the yes. Oh, healing. Before she hired me, we met for coffee, and she said, people are starting to want to heal.
Yeah.
They're learning to, and then some things are being triggered for people to understand that they need to be healing, but they don't know what they're healing from.
Right.
Or recognizing that there are things they don't yet know they need to heal from. Essentially, it was all in the scope of, especially in the workplace, having overall wellness as a recurring theme that happens in all of our workshops, to make sure that people feel very safe and very welcome.
Right.
And very much like giving those little bursts of like a fun little laughter activity or something, if I ever have any control over it. Because people are hungry for the healing.
Right.
And a lot of people don't actually even understand what they need to heal from.
Exactly.
And so sometimes being able, or accidentally triggering someone, it's so important for me to be able to learn and hear feedback so that I can know that it's probably going to happen, and provide the exit strategy from that momentary trigger space.
Like the songs.
Right? Yeah. I know. Yes. That alone will be its own podcast that we will record live from a karaoke place.
Love it. It'll be like exposure therapy for me.
Yes, I love it.
Because that's such a one-time thing. It's not like you're going to go into each thing and be like, which one of you has music triggers?
Right. Everyone has some trigger. This I know for sure.
Right.
I have never been to a workshop yet, and I've been doing these for a long time now.
Right.
At every corporate thing, at every general public event I've ever done, at every nonprofit organization, no matter where I've gone, either someone comes up to me right after class, or I get an email, or I get a phone call.
Yep.
I have not even in a small group. I have never had one workshop where I was not told of a specific, not necessarily a super negative trigger, but something that was so unexpected
that
they are just like, why did that come out in an improv workshop?
Exactly.
And it's very, I'm very aware of it, and it makes me that much more honored in what I get to do with the work that I I'm just it's grateful that I get to have in my wheelhouse.
I meant to tell you also, you know, recently I did, and I'm going to actually do an entire episode about the entrepreneurship and mental health, because I was asked a few weeks ago to go into my, our mutual friend is a professor at BSU here in town, and he teaches a, in the business school, he teaches a class for entrepreneurship. So, and he and I have known each other a long time. So I came in and talked about entrepreneurship and mental health. And there's this statistic that's probably on the low side of 72% of all entrepreneurs deal with mental health issues, mental illness issues. And I kind of came at it kind of funny, where I'm like, is that really a problem, or is that just the norm? Like, should we all just like achieve that? Because like, I think we should be like at that level, right? Like you should just like know that you're going to be there, and that's the norm. Yes. If you're at 72% of something, that is the majority. Like when does it not, when does it become not a problem? And just like, the thing that the 30% of you need to figure your stuff out, because
they just haven't addressed it yet, to be totally
like,
honest.
It's going to be 100% once they figure their thing out. But I forgot to tell you that like, he took a journal of, so there was two classes, so there was 70 people in total. And one of the, there was, it was a lot of positive, you know, feedback. A lot of it was, hey, we need resources. I didn't even think about that. But the point is, there was a few gentlemen that were pretty much saying, yeah, but we don't need that. Like, yeah, but I mean, I think they literally used those words. And I remember looking at Rick like, this is what happens, is that they dismiss it not only for themselves, but even for other people.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen to me. I'm strong. Like, what does strong have to do with it? Like, these are chemical, you know, breaks in your brain. Like, fix it. It's like, it's like the gash in your leg. Like, you got to go fix it. It's just broken, right? Your skin's just broken. It just makes no sense to me.
I know.
I and feel like I would argue on this level, and everyone else is down here. Like,
the normal is that no one's normal. And I find so much strength, and I just admire the crap out of people who want to do better with these heaps of body flesh that we are tromping around planet Earth in. Like, that is strength, is is doing the hard work to unburden yourself from the things that ail you.
We even sat on a floor today for an hour listening to the sounds of bowls.
Are you trying to trigger me at the end of this swapcast? So, folks, thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen. And Brooke, thank you for making it happen to finally do this. I am excited to get this one out and to do. No doubt there will be a good occasion for us to reunite on additional topics, because this is something
this
that is so important, and it is becoming more like, people are hungry for it. We've already said that. It's something that, like, why not be at those front lines helping push it forward
and
faster?
I guarantee you there's literally no one talking about mental health and improv. No one. This is going to be, like, this is going to change the world. I'm just telling you, like, it's going to go
global. Oh my.
And then I think we should do an episode where we just like talk like we normally do, with just talk about nothing and just make noises and just see what happens.
In fact, I feel like that should definitely be a forthcoming episode.
Sometimes the stuff that, and we may need to just put it on mine, because there will probably be swearing.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess we'll have to just cross that. I'll enlist the technology of bleeping for the just ranticle episode of
there may be words that we make up. I mean, just,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we love you.
We love you, listeners, and we wish you well in your journey, and of course, heaps of laughter and healing and success in whatever your quest is in your life.
And my sign off will always be, I hope that you take care of yourselves and each other.
I love it. You. That was good.